are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome to the Life Matters right here on the Maranatha Drive. Today, our conversation looking at matters of education with a special focus on homeschooling, pros and cons, if you will, of that education format, that education style. Now, with the increase in technologies that enable parents to work from home and from relatively remote regions, more and more parents are considering homeschooling their children, especially with the education system mainstream that is the way it is today. People are finding themselves saying, hey, you know what? I'd rather take the education of my child into my own hands. Now, homeschooling is growing in the Southern Africa region. South Africa is no exception, at a higher rate than ever before. Many parents are no longer considering homeschooling as an alternative option to mainstream, but as preferred option for educating their children. Here are some of the benefits and disadvantages, if you're going to be going into it, to keep in mind when considering homeschooling. And taking us through is our guest today, Bongi Tladi, who joins us now on the line. Good afternoon to you and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Hi, Derek. Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners, especially on this very, very pertinent topic. We appreciate your coming through.
Cool.
appreciate it. We are looking at pros and cons of homeschooling. Let's start with the positive side of things before we talk about some of that sour taste in the mouth that may be coming through. What are the benefits of homeschooling compared to your traditional schooling models, your mainstream education, as they call it?
Now, I could go on forever. Obviously, I'm biased here, but yeah. My list can go on. So please feel free to stop me if I go on for too long. But yeah, I'll try to get to the point.
I must confess, I might have a bit of a bias myself, so I'll try to stop you. I'll try my very best.
Cool. I think the most obvious one really is personalized education. Homeschooling allows parents to tailor a child's education to their unique strengths, their weaknesses, or even their interests. And I often say, you know, even in a household, if you've got two or three, four children, homeschooling can look different for your children depending on how your children are. So that allows you to really personalize. You might have a child that learns in a particular way. You might get a particular curriculum for a child, for example, that learns, you know, very practically. Mm-hmm. You might have a child that's very much into classics or reading a lot. You'll have a particular type of curriculum. So that's the first point, personalized education. And that's a real advantage.
Certainly.
Second is faith integration. I mean, how can I not say this? You know, homeschooling gives you the opportunity to give a biblical worldview to your children. And, you know, the arguments sometimes say, you know, no, but, you know, you can have a schooling or education that is neutral. And I don't know if that's possible, but we get the opportunity to at least give a biblical, you know, worldview to our children. So when we are learning science, we are learning from a creation point of view. When we're learning about the birds, you know, there's an emphasis on God creating the birds and all that stuff. So, and it also enables us as Adventists to align with some of our beliefs in education. You know, we believe that we should educate the whole child, in the mind, the heart, and the hand.
All right.
In homeschooling, we can tailor our children's curriculums to actually do that. You know, there's a part in the morning, we start off always with devotion. We then move on to our memory work, which is memorizing, you know, our memory verses and our poetry. And then we can move on to the hand, where we do a bit of chores in the house. You know, after breakfast, we washing dishes, we're putting away dishes, we're clearing here and there. And then we get to our academics. And after that, you know, there's obviously time for play. There's time for art. There's time for, you know, creative work. But then we go back to preparing dinner. Those little hands are chopping, you know, cutting the onions and do so. It enables us to develop the whole child. And also, there's a big emphasis on character development in the early years. You know, we talk about habit formation in the early years. And when you're homeschooling, we've got, I want to say, the luxury of being able to say, I'm dealing with a character issue right now.
Okay.
I'm going to put the maths book down and I'm going to deal with this character issue for some time. You know what I'm saying? We are on our timetable. We can see what is happening with the child. We can see attitudes developing. We can see all sorts of things. And because character development is core, and we believe is one of our priorities, we are able to prioritize it. So from obedience to diligence to all these things, we can literally try as best as we can to work with our kids and develop those things. All right. Next is individual pace.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is obvious. You know, we can take 2 years to do a grade, or we can do 6 months to do a grade, depending on how fast or slow the child is.
All right.
And also deeper learning. I've got a son who really, really, when he is interested in the topic, he really wants to go all in. And with homeschooling, we can do that. We can look at documentaries. We can do all sorts of things to really go into those topics and learn deeper. And yeah, I think those are just some of the few. Can I say one more?
Certainly.
Closer family bonds. You get to spend time together as a family. We recently did a very long road trip. Myself, my husband, and the kids, and we drove literally across the country. We spent time together. And in this trip, we were also learning stuff. So when we passed Bloemfontein, what happens here? You know what I'm saying? But we're spending time as a family, because I always say children are not kids for long. 18 years will go by so quickly and then they're gone. So we might as well make the most of it.
Of that time, certainly. And I think that's quite a way to look at all those positives and say, you know what, this is what you get, what your benefit, what your pluses are when you're looking at things from a homeschooling perspective. And I think any parent who is listening in might think, you know what, these are the times. I mean, like you're saying, the children aren't children always. You know, you miss those early years, and every parent always says, you know what, I wish I could have spent more time in those times. Talk to us a bit about some of the biggest concerns that people have for homeschooling. And I think one of the major ones that comes through is the issue of social development. To say, you know what, they feel like the kids are cocooned. It's just you and the child in the school environment, quote unquote, and they don't have to interact or get space to interact with others. Can homeschool children achieve healthy social and emotional connections and develop?
Well, I really feel as a homeschooler that the and maybe many other homeschoolers see it the same way. We view that socialization question similarly to how vegetarians or vegans view the protein question.
Okay.
You know, vegetarians and vegans are always asked, how do you get your protein?
Yeah,
where do you get your protein?
Yeah.
So likewise with homeschoolers, you know, it's almost similar to always being asked, but are your kids socialized? And my answer is yes. The same way vegans or vegetarians get their protein differently, homeschoolers also socialize, but differently. So a lot of homeschoolers may actually not want their kids to be socialized by their peers. Interestingly, I was listening to an interview by another homeschooling dad, a guy in the Western Cape, and he was saying, actually, I don't want my kids to develop peer dependence and be with the same age all day, every day. We have an opportunity instead to offer a diverse and varied way of socialization. So the child gets to do extracurricular. They get to, you know, they get to do swimming, music, choir. They're in Sabbath school. They do pathfinders or adventurers.
Yeah.
They can be in children's church. They can do, you know, choir. They do have an opportunity to interact with their peers.
True.
But at the same time, we take advantage of trying to socialize them to interact with other age groups. Because in real life, when you get to work, you don't just work with 25-year-olds or 27-year-olds.
Yeah.
You work with all the young and so on. And that's
Certainly.
How a homeschooled child's life is. I remember when we lived in Cape Town, one of the kids who were homeschooled at our church, every Friday he used to volunteer to work at the church office with the, you know, so that was part of his homeschooling curriculum, was to actually work at the church office selling in the, do we still call them ABCs? There was a little, one of those shops where they sell books and soya milk and so on. And this child, that was part of their socialization. And for us, we always try to do so. When we go to a restaurant, we encouraging our young ones to be able to speak respectfully to the waiter, to actually make their own order. That's all part of socialization.
Fascinating. And some of the misconceptions that come through, I'm sure as a homeschooling parent yourself, you would have met a lot of people who think homeschooling is Gandhi. Actually, it's not that. Maybe talk to us a bit about some of those.
Okay. I think the first off the top of my head is that parents need to be qualified teachers. You know, COVID did something because we actually started homeschooling during that time. Our son was going to be in grade R, and then from then we just, you know, went with it. And we saw that there was so many curriculums that are developed that are supportive to parents. And I also found that, you know, you know, Derek, grade three maths might have been difficult when you were in grade three, but trust me, as an adult, it's not the same.
It's true. Yeah.
You just are able to understand better, but there is better support for parents. There is curriculums that are able to support parents. You never have a subject that doesn't have answer book as well. You know, with some of our, with the one of the curriculums we use for my older son, they've got a 24 hours, it's a day, like 9 to 5, like a call thingy where you can call if you need to ask a question. They're very hands-on. Everything is pretty much there to assist you. So that's the first thing. You don't have to be a qualified teacher. You just need to be a dedicated parent who's willing to do it. The second misconception is that, you know, homeschooling kids are sheltered or unprepared for the real world. And I argue that they actually should be more prepared because they're already living in that real world. We spoke about the ability to wake up and do your chores, groom yourself, do stuff and not just, you know, work on academics. They should have more balanced life so that when they're 20 something, they're not saying, oh, I can't adults, you know, the way many people say they can't, because they just didn't get to learn that. So they do prepare for the real world. When they do go to playgrounds, you do get children, they're teasing or bullying. That happens at our churches even. That happens at Pathfinders. So they can never be fully cocooned. What we are saying is that for this early years, when they are still forming their concept of self and God, in those years, as much as possible, we would like to control at least, because we know it's not going to be forever. You know what I'm saying? There is no 14-year-old who is fully, you know, cocooned by anything. But for those early years, at least the parents can try by all means to expose the child to as much as they can, knowing that at some point they will go out in the world and they prayerfully will be ready for that.
Certainly. And I think that that idea of cocooning is really such a big myth, because it's not like you're raising your kids. Even if you're going to be in the out in the country, you know, and you've got a bit of a homestead and you're kind of secluded from the rest of the world, there is still time, like you're talking about, you know, time to go to the shops, time to meet other church peers and meet other extracurricular stuff, you know. And seldom do you find yourself saying, you know what, this kid last saw human beings 5 years ago. You know, there is no space like that.
No,
so this idea of cocooning is really misplaced. But I wanted to address some of the issues you raised earlier on. I mean, you spoke about customized learning that you're able to offer as a positive for the child, because they learn in the space that they're able to understand and so forth. But isn't that also sometimes a bit of a challenge, where you then begin to almost coddle the child? Whatever they need, you kind of make an environment that's suitable for them. And like you were saying, that outside world sometimes is not as conducive. You've got to be facing obstacles. How do you balance that as a parent if you're always going to be saying, okay, they struggle with this, therefore let me make it a bit more conducive for them?
I'm going to have a bit of a, I don't know, my view might be a bit different, but this is it. I'm just going to give it to you. You know, maybe because I'm a boy mom, but I know there is a boy crisis out there right now. And a lot of my friends would say, you know, my kid is in grade two and they say he's got ADHD and they say this and this and this and this. And when I've been doing a lot of reading and studying up, but there's actually a lot of work written about, even by Adventist scholars. And the view is, you know, this is why even in SOP, we are told the later that certain things are started in a child's life, the better. So you find that our primary schooling is very much conducive to little girls. You know, we expect, you know, six-year-old boys to sit down and color within the lines, or we expect them to like to do, you know, busy work. And some boys might like that, but a vast majority might not, or actually do not. Okay. And what we find is a lot of kids who go through mainstream, I mean, I see it with brothers, cousins, uncles. They start to, if you Google, you know, fourth grade syndrome, a lot of young black boys, by the fourth grade, it's like they've made up their mind that this is not for me. You know what I'm saying? And that's because of the early introduction of certain things. So in using my privilege to say, I'm going to create an environment that's inducive for you, my young boy, who I know needs, you know, taking a break every now and then. I'm not saying he's going to need that forever, because we know that they grow out of certain things. But we are saying, I don't want you to think you're dumb because you can't sit as long as other kids, or because you just don't get reading as fast as, you know, the little girls in your class. So for me, it's like come away for a little while and develop in this environment. Yes. And at some point you will. I mean, we expect 13-year-old boys to be fully on par with their peers. You know, there's another homeschooling friend of mine who says just something happened at the age of 11. My boy just started reading better. Things just started settling in. So for me, I have an interest of actually allowing kids to still keep their confidence intact, to still enjoy learning without being labeled all sorts of things for the sake of just being in a group of kids and doing what the other kids are doing.
Yes. And I like that idea you're bringing across, to say it's not about coddling. It's about allowing them to learn the concept and then help them to grow out of whatever that maybe one-sided track of learning that they possessed. I think that's quite profound. And maybe before we then draw to a close, my mom had the privilege of being educated by her own father in the mainstream education. So he was the teacher at school, right?
That's amazing.
And one challenge, it sounds amazing, but here was the challenge. She was not sure, do I call him dad at school? And when we get home, is he still teacher or is he now dad? You know, and so there was this bit of a, you know, challenge, you know, disconnect, if you will. And I hear you saying the homeschooling environment, which is quite profound. And as I was listening, it makes it sound like, therefore, even those who are in mainstream technically are homeschooled, because when they come home, you come home and you want to teach them how to cook, you want to teach them how to keep the hands busy, the mind busy, like you were speaking of, that there's always this class mentality.
Definitely.
Now, how do you differentiate to say, okay, child, this is now mommy the teacher, but now this is mommy the mom, if it's always class, if you will, like you were presenting it in the homeschooling space?
Yeah, I think, number one, I just need to reiterate what you've said. If you look in the book Child Guidance, every parent gets to home educate, because education starts when the kids are small. In our arms, she says, discipline starts when it's a baby. So, you know, we teach our kids how to eat, how to walk, how to do all sorts of, even counting ABCs usually start before a kid goes to school. So, to be honest, home education takes place whether a child goes to school or not.
I think we limit education to books, whereas we forget
Any
input
is more holistic.
Education. Yes.
Yes. And then to the part of you know, mom versus teacher, I think for us, what we've seen is you need to have good boundaries. And that takes place when we're habit training, as we're saying. You know, it is difficult. At the beginning, there might be that, oh, mom, I don't want to do this or this. And but as we set the rules that, you know, this is our schedule. We don't do schedules in terms of time, but we have a rhythm. So we know in the morning we start with this and this and this and this. So we just need to keep reiterating. And it's a balance of firmness, but still with love. That they can see that, no, this is what we're doing now. And, you know, and we always say, like when we were doing this road trip now, we kept saying education doesn't have a limit. You know, we don't do school at home. We are always learning. So whether we are in the car, when we go to the shop, when, you know, when we're in the garden, when we are cutting our thingy, we are doing fractions. So we just want a growth mindset where children are always absorbing. But definitely they do need to, we do try and put boundaries in place for them to know that, listen, It's time for school. It's time for this. It's time for that. And there's a time for everything under the sun, we always say.
Beautifully put, beautifully. Bongi, sadly, like you said, we wish we could have this conversation forever. We'll have to wrap it up here. Final thoughts you'd want to leave, especially with that one still in the valley of indecision. Should I not? What would you want to say to them?
I would say definitely pray about it. I think for me, I find homeschooling has been God showing us as parents that we have got lots of character defects. So, you know, if you look at it, it's God first educates the parents and then they pass on. Homeschooling is discipling. And we need to ask God for everything. You know, what should I do? Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I have support? Because we didn't even go into the different types. You know, South Africa allows you to have tutors. You can have two or three families come together and hire a teacher, a God-fearing teacher who will do all the objectives that we... All these things are different possibilities. And with prayer and with reading God's word, you will definitely find your way. But everything is scary at the beginning, but one day at a time. We're not asked to live more than one day at a time. Just take it one day at a time, and yeah, God will open up as you continue.
Certainly, certainly. And I think that's the point, right, to say allow it to be the process, but be willing. And if you're willing, God will be able to utilize you for anything. Thank you so much once again, Sister Xadime. God bless you for what you're doing and for just coming through and educating us and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much, Derek.
Wonderful stuff. That's Bongi Xadime joining us this afternoon right here on the Maratha Drive, talking issues of homeschooling. Are you interested? I think you can try it.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.